You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 69. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats and future expats can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. In order to achieve our goals, every so often we have to stop for a moment to assess what we have accomplished and, if necessary, recalibrate our methods or procedures. Now, we shouldn't just put our heads in a hole in the ground and hope, pray, or pretend that everything will turn out all right. That wouldn't be realistic, would it? Now, I created this podcast to use my and other expats' experiences as a gateway to learn about different cultures, customs, and at the same time, demonstrate that we have a lot more in common than we think. Hosting this podcast has been a lot of fun, but it hasn't always been trouble-free. Frankly, it has been quite a challenge to develop content that people would want to listen to and in turn, hopefully, learn from. Anyway, my top priority is to look for expats that have interesting stories to tell that would help current expats and future expats understand the possible obstacles they may have to face while on their expat journey. In addition, finding and scheduling guests for this podcast has always been an adventure, mainly because of the time zones many of my guests were or are located in. Most of the topics I've chosen to discuss during interviews were very middle of the road. Now, what I mean is, from the very beginning, I consciously tried to keep discussions neutral without directly expressing personal opinions about local or international events, and this includes politics. Now, I didn't plan to consciously set out to politicize opinions expressed in my podcast, nor elevate any topic that wasn't directly related to expat life. Now, I wasn't always able to do this, though, but for the most part, I kept topics and discussions in an open-minded direction regardless of verity. From my point of view, most of my expat guests were, for the most part, well-adjusted expats who found a way to function and live a life in their host nation. They explained how they learned to adapt and adjust to things in their host nation while at the same time maintaining parts of themselves. I think my past guests are clear proof that people can learn from one another if they only allow themselves to open their minds as well as their hearts to the unique varieties in cultures, languages, religions, and the other things that exist in this world. Now, I'm aware that there are belief systems that exist that are diametrically opposed to one another, and the search for ideological elements or bridges to connect them has been going on for centuries. And I don't want to present expat related topics in ways that make it appear candy-coated or watered down. No matter where we are or what we do, we eventually run into situations that bring unexpected stress into our lives, and living abroad doesn't change or insulate an expat from this fact. Recently, I've come across expats who feel that they are in a state of perpetual or voluntary self-imposed exile. And because of recent events now taking place within my own and other nations, I now feel that maybe there is a need for me to refocus my podcast, Four Seas, One Family, and go beyond the surface of an expat's experience. I am now hoping to refocus my discussions with fellow expats to a direction where they can help me put some light on how expats may feel or may see events taking place in not only their host nation, but also their home nation and the rest of the world. Now, what does this all mean? I hope to hear from you, my listeners. I want to hear what you have to say about what I've just mentioned and proposed. I'm interested in hearing what you think about the direction I'm hoping to focus this podcast into and how I hope to integrate this into an expat's lifestyle and views about how they see the rest of the world. Now, to contact me directly, you can go to the Four Seas One Family's contact page at foursseasonefamily.com/contact. There you will find a page where you can leave me a voicemail or write a message to me. Now remember, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. My guest this episode is Mackenzie Dahl. Now, Mackenzie is an American expat now living in Dublin, Ireland. Now, Mackenzie is from the northeastern part of the United States, and she talks about how she, became acquainted with her overseas home. She talks about what drew her to her overseas home and how she has learned to adapt to her overseas life. Mackenzie also runs an interesting blog that talks about her expat lifestyle and some of the things she does to make her overseas life more enjoyable. So without further ado, let's listen to the interview. Hello, Mackenzie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland. And where's home? Where's home?
Home is New Hampshire, back in the States.
Wow. What brought you out to Ireland, to Dublin, of all places?
So I first came here when I was 18 with my family. I convinced my dad to have us come out here on vacation because I had taken an Irish literature and studies class my freshman year of college. And right after, I was like, okay, I need to go out there and kind of see what's going on. And then when I came over, something clicked and I really liked it. And I just kind of had the bug for it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's how it all started. And then I studied abroad in 2015. And from then on, I was just kind of like, yep, this is where I want to be, and rolled with it, basically.
Right. So what about the Irish culture that pulled you there, though? Yeah, I mean, you said you also studied abroad, and you can tell us more about that later. But what particularly about Ireland, or maybe Dublin in particular, that pulled you over there? Was it something artistic, music, or a significant other, or what? Tell me. Let's hear this.
Well, I think the first time after the vacation, I was hooked, because when you come over as a tourist, everything's very romanticized. I think people tend to romanticize Ireland a lot because, especially in Americans, we have a lot of Irish ancestry. And so that at first, I think, is what pulled me in. And then when I studied abroad, I learned a lot more about the nitty gritty of society, politics, a lot of, topical issues. And once I started to get a more authentic Irish experience, I don't know, there's just something that really clicked that I liked. And then I knew by the end of that summer of study abroad that I wanted to come back and do my master's here. And so that's kind of how it started. And now I don't think I could leave again if I tried. I really like it. So,
how cool. Because you sound so energetic and everything. And I know you're a dog person. I know that, right? You have a dog?
I do have a dog back home. His name is Tucker. He's half husky, quarter boxer, quarter lab. And he's just the best dog. He's getting a bit old now, but he's so good. So it's nice whenever I go home, he's there waiting for me.
How often do you Skype back home to talk to the dog?
I don't really ever Skype with the dog specifically. He hates anything with cameras. He's very suspicious of them. He doesn't like it at all. But I do Skype a lot with my youngest brother. He's 5 years old, so he's all about the Skype, and he really likes to kind of talk with me and see what's going on.
Wow. So when you got there, okay, you studied, a little bit, learned a little bit about Irish culture. What surprised you the most when you really got to know the culture a little bit more?
I think the thing that interested me the most and I found really surprising is because, everyone knows that Ireland, is supposedly a really Catholic country. But when I came over and studied abroad, we really got into the nitty gritty of how the government and the Catholic Church has vastly influenced Irish society even today. And it's constantly evolving, especially in recent years. But when I learned kind of the impact that the Catholic Church had on this country, and good and bad, I didn't realize how vast it was. And now that I'm here, you kind of still see a lot of remnants of that, and it's still happening. So it's definitely very interesting. That was one thing that really surprised me.
Yeah, you mentioned that you studied a PhD. What are you studying?
So I just started my PhD not even 2 weeks ago, actually. Oh. And my topic is childhood obesity and the psychological risk factors and how those factors influence treatment outcomes. So
that sounds complicated.
I'm based at UCD here in Dublin and Temple Street.
What is UCD? What is that?
Oh, UCD. It's University College Dublin. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So now you're learning things
at a really basic level. What can you? Is there anything about the education system there that's, you know, quite? What's the difference between going to school there and you would be back home?
There's a lot of differences. Firstly, costs. Irish students don't have to pay nearly as much to go to college as they would back in America. And secondly, the kind of way they go about their education is different. So, for example, if you do your undergraduate studies here in psychology, your whole course for the majority is all psychology classes. Like, you get a spectrum of everything. And this is different from if you did your undergrad in America, where a lot of colleges still require you to do general education classes. So, like, I remember I had to take astronomy for physical, and I had to take like biotechnology and those kinds of things. So that's a very big difference, is when you pick a major here, you really go, you're full on into it. There's not much of a requirement for gen ed.
Well, there's no other types of interference coming in there. So how do you find your, you know, socializing with the locals there, other students? Is there much variance in your differences in that?
Kind of the same. You start off in the same places. You know, you join organizations or people you meet in class. I was really fortunate. When I did my master's here, I did what they call a taught master's. So it still has research, but there's still a lot of classes that you take. And that was like the way that I met a lot of Irish people. I'm really glad I did that one versus just solely research, because I think I would have been more isolated. And so that's how I met a lot of people, just kind of how you would back in America. And I also, I'm dating an Irish person as well. So that's a lot of...
I knew that was in there someplace. I knew that was had to be in it somewhere, you know, stereotypical, you know, the American coming. So what are you, can you go a little bit more in depth of some of the activities you take part in with the locals? Anything you can talk about in that sense?
Yeah, obviously the big one is you spend a lot of time in your local pub. So everyone kind of has a local, and that's a big activity. Also, it's gorgeous here. So there's such a huge culture here of like hill walking and just going for nature walks. That's something that you do a lot as well.
Wow. What kind of local customs you picked up while there?
Some customs. Well, there's the whole like round system. It's like at home, you would kind of have a same thing, but when you're in a pub and everyone buys rounds, like each person kind of takes a turn, like this is my round, and that's like really set in stone here. And so that's kind of different, because like back home I feel like we all drink at different paces, and you're like, yeah, I'll get the next one, do you want me to get yours, you get mine. But like here it's like solid whole round, you all take turns. And so that was something I was like, what?
Do you get any type of questions from people there asking about your home, you know, about what's going on in the States, especially the political, you know, situation back in the States? Any type of questions like that you get from people in Ireland?
Yeah, I guess questions like that all the time. Irish people are so inquisitive, and they're all very fascinated with America. And I remember when I started my master's, my professors would always come up to me and be like, Mackenzie, who's going to win this election? And I would be like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to think about it right now. I need to focus on school. And people get like Ireland is so rapidly progressing that their own kind of discussions and politics, like people really like to talk about them, and they love to ask you very upfront questions about your own politics and your own experiences. So yeah, I get questions about America and Donald Trump all the time. Like, I'm just like, please stop.
Do you find yourself trying to squash some type of misconception or just stereotypes and anything like that? Or have you found any type of stereotypes that people had that you really had to dig in and rearrange that kind of thinking?
In terms of stereotypes, I think they're quite funny. Like, Irish people watch a lot of American TV, and so they think that like everyone in America, not all of them think this, but a lot of them will be like, oh, do you have a pool? I'm like, well, not everyone in America has a pool. So it's really funny like that. Or oftentimes people will make really vast generalizations about Americans, and I have to kind of explain that America is so big and it is so diverse that you can't really make huge generalizations about what people are like, because every region has different cultures. And but yeah, the pool one, everyone's like, oh, do you have a pool? No, I actually do, which is hilarious.
Although you are communicating with each other, it's certain things that are like slightly different that maybe will leave both parties kind of like in a question mark, anything like that?
Irish people are definitely more upfront in a lot of ways than Americans would be.
Give an example then.
For example, when you first meet someone here, they're very, like, super friendly. Irish hospitality is a real thing. But they'll jump right into, like, the deep stuff from the get-go. Whereas in America, I feel like people will kind of bounce around it a bit until you start to get to know each other in a conversation. But, like, I remember when I was studying abroad one time, I was just in a pub, and this guy heard my American accent, and he, like, came up to me and was like, "So, what do you think about George Bush?" And I was like, "You didn't even introduce yourself." Who are you? But they're very, like, I've had that happen to me a few times just about different topics. They'll just jump right into it. But it's always coming from a really good, inquisitive place, never a mean kind of place. So it's good.
Right. Well, how about the reverse way then? When you go back home or when you communicate with people back home, do they like assume that you are living a lavish life over there, or any type of situation you have to explain to people back home? No, this is how I'm really living over there. Any type of things you can mention about that?
Yeah, I think like people at home, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I think people here think that Americans are so, we're so busy and we're so involved in all these things and we're just constantly go, go, go. And that is true for a lot of people. But like when I'm home, I'm just home and I do the same things that people here do. I like to just relax and be calm and be in nature. And it's just really funny. They just think, I don't know, it's hard to explain. They just think we're always up and around and constantly involved in things. I'm like, no, we're just as relaxed in a lot of ways as you guys are.
But my question was really, when you go back home, how do you explain to your friends and family back home about your life in Ireland? Because they may assume something else. How do you explain to them about that's what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely hard. Like, I think, like I said before, a lot of people in America romanticize Ireland a lot. So they're like, oh, the Irish traditional music and oh, this. And I'm like, yeah, but not every pub has traditional Irish music every night. We have modern food. Like, the food is really big when people think food here is really bland. And I'm like, no, it's actually quite good. There's a lot of multicultural cuisine coming into Dublin, and it's amazing. The accents as well. Like, I think on American TV, when you have someone who's not Irish doing an Irish accent, and then Americans hear that and they think that's what all Irish people sound like, I'm like, no, that's like a leprechaun accent. That's not real. Like, that's not.
From the cartoons, right?
Yeah, and the cartoons and just anything like that. Or like movies, like P.S. I Love You, Gerard Butler did the worst Irish accent I've ever heard. And then Americans think that's what Irish people sound like. And I'm like, no, it's not at all. Please don't take that for real.
Are there any type of hard adjustments you had to make? Because everybody goes through things like that when they're living abroad for an extensive amount of time.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me was I had studied abroad here, and in that setting, everything was really facilitated for you. Like, you were kind of pushed, like someone else was pushing you to make friends. It was all in place for you, and it was very easy. It was so easy. When I studied abroad, I wasn't really homesick at all. And then I think I kind of had wrong expectations about coming back the second time, that it was going to be just as easy. But it wasn't, because I wasn't in a study abroad program where they do everything for you. I had to go out on my own and make friends. I had to do my own things. I had to push myself a lot harder. And I found it much harder the second time. I don't have any regrets, but it definitely, like, you have to, like, force yourself to go out and make friends. They're not just kind of waiting for you, you know, because in a study abroad program, no one really knows each other. So you're all super, like, eager to talk to each other. Right. And when it's just me on my own, like, all these Irish people already know each other. So it was kind of, I had to push myself to get out there and get involved in things and just get comfortable. And the other thing here, I like, I love to bake. And so that was the biggest, one of the biggest things for me is the only time I ever get homesick is in the grocery store when they don't have the same baking materials. Like, I can't even go in anymore sometimes because I'll just be in the aisle so frustrated. And it's the only time I ever actually get that mad about being here. Goodness. Like, I'm like, why is cornstarch called something differently? Why can't it all just be corn? Like, it's really, it's the little things like that that really kind of get to you. But I think, honestly, those are the only two things. And I feel I've been here about a year now and they've kind of mellowed out and I have a good friend group and I have social supports. And that was probably the hardest part, was really just, you're kind of lonely in the beginning unless you really push yourself. And it took me time to get comfortable with that and put myself back out there and just, you know, make friends and do normal things again.
You know, every so often we all need that downtime, that private time, stuff like that. You know, what do you do to keep yourself focused? Now, I read from your website that you bake.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So what do you do to kind of like keep you being you overseas? I mean, what do you do to refocus or readjust sometimes? You know, especially abroad, it can be quite different for some people.
Yeah. Baking is definitely one of them. I also really, from a psychology standpoint, I really like to try to find ways to practice gratitude, because, like, we know actively practicing gratitude, it can be really good for your mental health. Right. And so I like to just find moments where I can really just think about what I'm grateful for and how happy I am to be here. The baking, I like to be out in nature. I'm right by the ocean. And so whenever I go down to the sea, I just feel really grounded and connected with myself and just to the world around me, basically. So it's just little things. Like, I try to do a lot of little things. I really like to journal. My blogging is one thing that kind of keeps me grounded as well. So it kind of keeps me being me. yeah.
What is this Fergus thing? What is this thing?
Oh,
yeah, Fergus. What is this?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about this Fergus thing? What is this?
Fergus is my stuffed bear. I made him a Build-A-Bear with one of my best friends before I studied abroad. Uh-huh. And it was kind of a way for us to think about each other when cool. we would snuggle with our bears. And it just evolved into him being my travel partner. That bear comes everywhere with me. He's been through Europe with me. Wow. I have to have him anywhere I go. He's on my bed right now.
Oh,
he has
goodness.
To come with me everywhere. And he actually was the best thing in the world when I studied abroad, because I could just kind of give him a squeeze wow. and feel better. And he's also named after a character in a Roddy Doyle book.
Oh,
so
the novelist.
He's definitely, he thinks he's Irish.
Right. The novelist, screenwriter guy, right?
Yeah.
It's like a character in a Charlie Brown story that carries the blanket, huh?
yeah.
Lionel, I think it is.
Yeah, he's my blanket. Yeah, is it Lionel? Linus? Or what's it?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Reading your website, Lady Mac Lifestyle. You're into fitness, right? What is fitness? How do you wrote that? Some fitness.
Oh, gosh.
What's that?
Not reading into fitness. not my forte. But I know it's not awful. I'm studying childhood obesity, but I wouldn't say I go to the gym regularly. But no, I called it Lady Mac Lifestyle because I kind of wanted something that would be more encompassing of different things I would write about. I wanted to talk a lot about well-being and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to talk about my other interests like baking and just seeing Dublin. I wanted to talk about expat life. So it's a little bit of everything. And I think lifestyle was just the best thing I could come up with at the time to encompass all of that.
Yeah, especially now, you know, when you live your life when you live overseas for a while and have adjusted to another culture that's quite different from your home, you do see the world in a whole different way. You have a little short passage here on your website says, through travel, we gain a new perspective. Through risk, we learn more about ourselves. Each journey we embark on helps us define who we are and write our own story.
I think that's the best thing I've ever written, honestly.
But it encompasses a lot of feelings a lot of expats get. And what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about or who may be already living abroad and maybe not having a smooth time living abroad? What advice would you give those people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for myself, reflection is the thing that makes this experience so valuable, because as humans, I feel we're constantly evolving and growing and changing, but you can't really recognize that change unless you take the time to acknowledge it and to think about it and cope with it. I mean, there's ways in which I feel like I've changed that often clash with kind of who I was back in America. And it's just reflecting back on that and seeing where your experiences have taken you. You know, journaling is a really good way. I think anyone who's moved abroad should absolutely be journaling or blogging, or at least taking note on their experiences, mm-hmm. because when you look back at it, you can say, oh my gosh, wow, this experience hasn't been for nothing. You know, I've heard of people who've had to move abroad because of their, you know, partner's job, and that may not have necessarily been something they were on board with, but anyone can still gain something out of the experience. And I think it's just taking the time to reflect on it. You can start to learn that, you know what, this may have been really hard, but I've grown in this way because of it. I've had these fun times because of it. You know, even if it's just a lot of little things, they all add up. So I think the biggest advice I can give to anyone who's thinking about moving abroad or already is, but it might be really hard for them right now, it's just to take the time to reflect and be present with both the good and the bad. You know, like when I studied abroad here, I was coming off of a really big kind of grief that had happened in my family. And I think that's probably one reason I'm really attached to Ireland as well, is because I grieved a lot here, but I took the time to really reflect on it often. And I think it just made the experience a lot better. It made me not want to be isolated. It pushed me to continue growing forward and embrace the person that I was becoming. So I would say the biggest advice is just take the time to reflect in whatever way kind of works for you, you know?
So tell me then, I mean, yes. How much has your overseas life changed you? And also in what way?
A lot, big ways. I think it's definitely made me feel more comfortable with taking risks. Obviously, even if you research everything that you possibly could about where you're going to move to, stuff happens and it's a risk. It might not work out. Something could happen. You don't realize how challenging it will be right away, and it's all a big risk. And I think moving abroad has made me more comfortable with taking risks and trying new things. I also think, even just if you're not even an expat, but you travel everywhere, like when you go to different places, you just hear different stories and perspectives, and I think it makes you even more open-minded anytime you go somewhere new. So I think that would be another way. Also, it's made me more comfortable in politely critiquing my own home country. And I think it's really good to always be critically thinking, especially as a PhD student, you're constantly critiquing past research. And I think in cultural stuff, it's made me more comfortable with saying, you know what, maybe that's not okay. Or maybe I think this is a positive way to change. It's made me more vocal in like social justice issues as well, wow. Because there's things here that like I've been more vocal about, and things at home that I would be more outspoken about. So I think it's kind of just made me more out there, I think, in a good way overall.
You know, it's true. It's true. I mean, you really said a lot there, and your blog is really sharing a lot. If, you know, if my listeners would like to find you, what's the best place to find you? Your website is, once again?
Yeah, my website is just LadyMacLifestyle.com. So it's, that's it.
any Twitter, anything else like that?
Oh, yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's just Mackenzie_Dow, D-O-W. I'll spell the whole thing. MCKENZIE _DOW. So, yeah, those are kind of the two things I'm most active on. Also on Facebook, if you just search Lady Mac Lifestyle, there's a page there as well.
You know, Mackenzie, thank you very much for taking the time out of the day to join us here at Four Seas, One Family. Thanks a lot, Mackenzie.
Thank you so much for having me.
See ya.
See ya.
Once again, I would like to thank Mackenzie for taking the time out of her day to join me here at Four Seas, One Family. And also you, thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune into us. Now, if you have an iOS device or Android device, you can drop by your prospective app stores and download our app that will help you stay up on what we are doing here. And also, look, if you have the time, please drop by our website at foursseasonefamily.com/contact and leave us a message. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
before Season 1 family from Taipei, Taiwan. I'm James. Take care. 再见.